Earth and Sky.
Thomas Malthus wrote The Principles of Population in 1798 and warned that the human population would outstrip, in essence, the carrying capacity of the planet. And we've not really fundamentally solved the problem that he was pointing to.
You're listening to Jeffrey Sachs, director of the Earth Institute at Columbia University, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Sachs is regarded as one of the most influential economists of his generation. He's also a leader in the effort to end global poverty and hunger. He spoke with Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson about overcoming the world's societal, economic, and environmental challenges.
Dr. Sachs, I know you're involved with many different issues, including climate change and global hunger and poverty. And can you speak briefly about what concerns you most about the world in this 21st century?
The world is bursting at the seams. We have nearly 7 billion people, and they're on the search for enough food, water, energy to meet their needs, to make economic progress. But when you add it all up, we are already a globally unsustainable world society.
So we're here at a meeting on global agriculture, and I thought you made a very interesting point in your opening comments about how we're still living under the Malthusian threat. Can you just summarize what you said earlier a little bit?
Thomas Malthus wrote The Principles of Population in 1798 and warned that the human population would outstrip, in essence, the carrying capacity of the planet. And during the ensuing 211 years, we've been able to increase food production markedly through better science, through better technologies. And sometimes that has led people to say, oh, Malthus, that's two centuries ago. We proved him wrong. But my point was that we've not really fundamentally solved the problem that he was pointing to. Malthus's specter, his warnings, continue to loom large, and I think we have to take very seriously the question of how we make the food supply, the population, and the Earth's ecosystems work compatibly and sustainably.
Many regions around the world are in the midst of a water crisis, and governments are still struggling to provide their countries with water. So can you speak about the relationship between the issues of water and food in this century?
The water crisis is very severe, and it is part and parcel of this overall challenge of a crowded planet and one that's experiencing dramatic change. About 70% of the consumption of fresh water, the water that we take from rivers, that we take from groundwater and so forth, is for agriculture, for irrigation for agriculture. It's very hard to transport water, and if you take it from one place, you may deprive it of another place. Sometimes putting up dams or taking water from rivers have destroyed the rivers, destroyed downstream, destroyed the Aral Sea, for example. And we can anticipate huge growing water stress because of the increased demands of a growing population, because of climate change, because of the fact that we're depleting certain kinds of water supplies right now, mainly groundwater aquifers, and therefore populations will be trying to tap other water. This is a major crisis in addition to all the other crises that we face.
So what are the underlying reasons for the water crisis, and why, and do you think that it can be solved on a global scale?
If one speaks about the water crisis of very poor people that don't have access to safe drinking water, that's a matter of a local investment and the poverty that prevents the local investment. For instance, water purification or pumped water or piped water from reaching very poor people. That's a matter of income and help from the rich world for poor people. That can be solved. If it's a matter of water for food production, we have a bigger challenge, actually, a very large-scale challenge, which will impinge both the poor and the rich. We've got a huge crisis brewing of food production, which will unfold over years and then decades unless we address it. To address the water crisis, we need a holistic view. to understand the ways that water is used in different parts of the world, the specific local and regional challenges. We have to understand the investments that could be made, the technologies that could be deployed. We have to figure out who's going to pay for it.
So let's talk about climate for a moment, because you brought up climate change in relation to meeting the demands of agriculture. And so how do issues of food and water relate to climate?
Climate change is going to create havoc with food production in some parts of the world, because climate change will lead in many dry places to even increased dryness, more frequent droughts, more unpredictable rainfall. Now, at the same time, the food production system is contributing to that climate change. And so it's almost as if we're chasing our own tail. We're in a very dangerous situation where one couldn't estimate that the production of food, both in the land that's cleared to grow the food or for pasture land, and in the direct application of fertilizers and other parts of the food cycle, may add up to around one-third of all the greenhouse gases that are contributing to climate change. So this is a mess.
Another meeting coming up is the Copenhagen Climate Summit in December 2009. And many people think that it could be the defining moment of global action on climate change. What would you like to see happen in Copenhagen, and what do you think will actually happen in Copenhagen?
There have been very high expectations for Copenhagen, but I fear that they are unlikely to be fulfilled. I'm pretty much concerned also that the expert views that need to be part of these negotiations are not adequately represented. There's a big flaw in that the negotiators tend to be diplomats, but they don't know the engineering possibilities. They don't know technology solutions that they really should be discussing. And so there's a disconnect between what we need to know and to input into solutions and what's actually being discussed. I hope, given that somewhat pessimistic sense of this upcoming meeting, that we'll get somewhere, maybe a political agreement on broad principles, maybe the announcement of several specific important initiatives.
Well, I have to ask a kind of candid question after all the crises you've mentioned, either occurring or are going to occur. Are we doomed?
We're definitely not doomed. When you come to a meeting like this one, you see all of the good ideas, the scientific knowledge, the potential technologies that can address problems. These problems can be solved, but first we have to focus on them. We have to make sure that we understand the priority of sustainable development to the practical solutions, and we can make tremendous headway if we do that.
You've been listening to Dr. Jeffrey Sachs, director of the Earth Institute at Columbia University and a professor of sustainable development there. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. More interviews with scientists at our website. I'm Jorge Salazar. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.